Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. Today is our Vladimir Putin Part 2 Cagle Cast, and we have four great cartoonists joining me, and all of them are syndicated to newspapers all around the world by Cagle Cartoons. Gentlemen, it's very nice to see you.
Hey, Daryl.
Nice to see you.
Hey, our first cartoonist today is Jos Kolingyong. And this is one of Jos's excellent cartoons. Jos is coming to us from Holland, and he studied international law and worked as a journalist until he decided to become an editorial cartoonist. Since 1982, Jos's cartoons are published in Dutch in Die Volkskrant. Jos has won tons of awards, including the Grand Prix at the European Press Cartoon in Brussels. Thanks for being here, Jos.
Thanks for having me.
Our next cartoonist is Joep Bertrams, who also comes to us from Holland. Joep works for the Ihune Amschlaga newspaper in Amsterdam, which has nothing to do with the Green Party, and he works with a bunch of other Dutch papers. Thanks for joining us, Joep.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Our next cartoonist is Adam Zyglis, who comes to us from Buffalo, New York. He draws for the Buffalo News. Adam's won the Pulitzer Prize, and he's won a bunch of other prizes. And we're delighted to have you here, Adam.
Happy to be here. It's great to meet some of my international colleagues. I admire their work so much. Good to connect the face to the work.
And we have Taylor Jones. Taylor, this is one of yours, Putin's Evolution. I think you're just brilliant and delighted to have you here. I have three of your cartoons hanging in my living room. You draw for the Hoover Digest at Stanford University, and you're a staff cartoonist for many years for the El Nuevo Día newspaper in Puerto Rico, and you drew for many years for U.S. News and World Report magazine, and you've won a ton of awards, too. All of you guys, a ton of awards.
No, only award I've won is a special award from the Gong Show back in the 1970s. And I wasn't even on the Gong.
Well, we'll make note of that. Gentlemen, it's very nice to see you all here.
Thank you. Good to see you.
And Adam, this is one of your cartoons, and I think it's a great one. He's running in the hamster forever wheel. Wonderful cartoon. A year after the start of the war in Ukraine.
Thank you. It's a challenge sometimes to tackle a topic that you cover so often and you want to sometimes say a similar thing. So coming up with fresh metaphors to capture sort of a feeling or a vibe can be a challenge. I'm a fan of juxtaposition with size and contrast and scale and things like that. And cartoons with few words that my international colleagues also enjoy.
One thing that is so nice about Putin is that all the cartoonists have drawn so many Putin drawings. And
well, he's been around for how long now?
Well, I'm emphasizing the recent ones, and we had so many to choose from, and it's just great. So we're going to start off with you, Jos. Tell us what's going on in this thing. It's written in Dutch.
This is a little older. This is from, I think, 2014. It was even before I met you guys. It's these little girls everywhere in the world, I guess, have these little poetry albums. And when they give them to prints, they get little poems back written in it and some images to stick them in. And the images look like this. And the poetry above, you know it all in English as well. It goes, roses are red, violets are blue, five fingers have I, the middle one for you. That's good.
That's fun.
Adam was talking about contrasts, and the contrast here for me was the nice thing to have a cruel man who is killing his opponents and depict him like this and have a little nursery rhyme above. So that gave to me a contrast that I was very satisfied with.
Jos, you've also taught me five words in Dutch.
Okay.
And
they were?
Well, the rosen zin rood.
Roses.
And the rosen zin blue. I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Roses are rood.
Blau.
Wow. You get five fingers and the middle is for you.
Okay, Jos, this one's in Dutch too. Tell us what this one says.
Yeah, this was from 2015. And you all know Boris Nemtsov, he was killed in front of the Kremlin. And nobody knew who did it. Actually, we all knew who did it. It was, of course, Putin. But Putin or the Russians had several explanations for the killing of Boris Nemtsov. And I drew them here all. But they all have the face of Putin, as you see. So who killed Boris Nemtsov? It says the Muslims did. The West did it. The East did it. The North did it. The South did it. The midgets did it. Or a friend, a photo model, did it. Or his wife. But you see everywhere the same face. Everyone knew who really was it. And it was nice. This cartoon made it all over Eastern Europe. I had a site in those days, and I could see on that site where people had looked at it. And it was all over Russia and all over from Finland to the Krim. It was a huge success. So I was very proud with this one. And it said something that most people liked to have said.
Well, I should say you've got lovely little Putin drawings as each of these possible killers in this cartoon. And it's a wonderful, funny cartoon. I have to describe the cartoons, because a lot of our listeners are getting an audio-only podcast and can't see the images. So as I go through them, you just got to sit through my descriptions. And when they're in Dutch, we got to sit through your descriptions. Or they can go to YouTube.com or Apple Podcasts or Kegel.com or Kegelcast.com. They can get the video podcast or subscribe wherever you're seeing this podcast. I thought this cartoon was just great. Wordless cartoon. What? You've got Xi Jinping curling. Putin is pushing his.
It is curling. Yeah.
Putin's pushing his. Putin is pushing his curling bomb as Xi Jinping is doing the sweeping in front of it. This is a wonderful cartoon. He's sweeping the bomb toward Ukraine.
At the time, we thought he was paving the way for Putin's aggression, but. We still don't know if that's the case. Nobody knows where China stands in this conflict, and they leave it like that. So
I think they're going to stand anywhere that they can get the most out of it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
This one I think is fun. You've got the world queuing up the Zelensky cue ball to knock the Putin 8 ball into the corner pocket.
That's it. I guess you said it all.
That's a great metaphor. Your caricature of Putin is wonderful. Going back to even the one with his face on all the different characters, you have him reduced to the eyes and the nose, you know. All you need is the eyes and the nose, right. And you know it's him, you know.
I get a little bit in trouble the moment I have to draw his mouth. Because it's easy for me. This nose, it covers everything.
Well, you know, he used to have a very different face. He's gotten puffy and round lately. He looks more like a cartoon elf.
Yeah.
But in the past, he had this very Bond villain face with the harsh cheeks and the mouth that looked very evil.
I've heard that he's on a lot of steroids.
To make it puffy.
No, but for the shirtless photos. Puffy, but that's what happened.
Why would he be on a bunch of steroids?
I've heard his health isn't, you know, despite the virility that he likes to show the world, that he's got some serious health problems. And again, this is just things stuff I've read. It's all probably medical speculation. But it has been speculated that he's taking steroids or something else that is making his face pouch out, get kind of orangutan-ish.
Yeah.
You know, he and I are the same age, so I can understand.
Small world.
Yeah.
It certainly looks like it.
No, so I really like your pool player too. I just like the way you've got them really well done.
So we've got this crazy Russian Orthodox Church that is so pro-war and so much in Putin's pocket. And I notice a lot more cartoons about the crazy church, both in Russia and in Ukraine, from the international cartoonists. The American cartoonists don't seem to draw this at all, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. And it seems like a major issue and thing that's going on there that is seen internationally and just not seen here. Yeah. So here you've got the crazy Russian church on Easter, resurrecting the Moksva, the warship that Ukraine sank. And it was a wonderful Easter cartoon, a resurrection cartoon.
But why is that, Daryl, that in America there are less drawings about church and churches and church spiritual leaders like this?
I
should say that's probably generally true. We don't get as many cartoons printed about religion, unless it's a holiday cartoon.
My paper historically had been sensitive to criticizing the Catholic Church because of our demographic and our readership. This is not the case in the last 10 years. I've been allowed to do so more. I don't feel like my coverage I'm reading from of Russia and Ukraine, I don't think a lot of the coverage I'm reading focuses on the church. And so that could be it too.
Yeah, we don't get it in the news coverage either.
Yeah.
Because Daryl mentioned it, the crazy church, so you can easily say it, but you don't draw it very often.
Well, it's always a sensitive topic here, and you know, editors are always worried about subscriptions being canceled, and some of the first to do that are those who are offended whenever anything touches on religion in their view in a negative way.
You know, you've got some cartoons here that depict crucifixions as well, and American cartoonists do that once in a while. I've done some, and I notice in the stats that every time there's a crucifixion in a cartoon, the cartoon just doesn't get reprinted.
As much
as we want to draw crucifixions, much as we want to draw blood and Nazis and Ku Klux Klan, none of those things get reprinted. The editors just don't print them. We draw them for ourselves. Perhaps to the artist's credit, it's not like they draw any less of these. They just don't get printed.
Yeah, well, there must be some differences between the subjects that American cartoons take and draw and the European. Pat Bagley once told me that he has to submit all the ideas he has to the editors before he starts drawing. And that's not done in the Netherlands. That's quite a difference. And that makes him, perhaps, although you don't notice it with his cartoons, he's so unbelievably skilled that makes his position different from our position in the Netherlands, for instance.
A lot of cartoonists suffer from that. Do you have to do that, Adam?
I send my sketches I'm considering to different people, including my editor, to get their feedback. But I ultimately pick the one that I'm going with. They just want a heads up on the sketch, so they're not blindsided. So there is some, I don't just draw to completion and then submit it without them seeing it. I will give them the sketch before I start inking so that they just know what it is. And every couple of years, they will say, wait a second, this visual might be too offensive. But generally speaking, that doesn't happen a lot. So they don't pick and choose. I've heard of some cartoonists will give them options. That's a terrible situation where then the editor's like, you got to use this one. Clay Bennett for years said he would have to do that. And like, he kind of would be strategic about which ones he would show them just so he would get the one he wanted in the paper.
That happened a lot doing drawing cartoons for El Nuevo Dia in Puerto Rico. Mm. And I had I speak Spanish to some degree. I'm certainly not fluent, but I dealt with an editor who was very proud of making sure to deal with me in Spanish. Only English if he absolutely had to, although he spoke English. But I had to come up with at least three and sometimes five or six ideas. And I would do my best at the same thing to try to couch him in a way that he would choose the one I wanted. And sometimes he was annoyed when he did.
That's funny.
Okay. That's completely unknown in the Netherlands.
Yeah. No, I love you.
The people who write columns in the Netherlands, in America, do they get the same treatment? Do they have to?
May I interrupt you? Because I'm from Holland, and I work on weekends, and on Sunday and Monday, I even work for the Groene Amsterdammer and other papers as well. And I sent three sketches or so to the Groene, and they chose one, and the other one I could use for the other one. So I do propose to the corner, and if they choose one, And I know Willem for, I think, for Canard, for Charlie Hebdo, also makes three sketches Hebdo, or three drawings as well.
It's not so Charlie Hebdo's.
Are they? Because well, it gives you some convenience that you, on a sketch and on a drawing, which is go in the right direction, and it's always your own sketch.
I'm sorry, I did not know that.
Daryl,
no, that's the problem. I didn't do it before, but nowadays it's much easier for me.
Jost, I wanted to add one thing. I love your sketch of the Metropolitan in that cartoon. It's a beautiful rendering of the Russian Orthodox Metropolitan. They're called Metropolitans, I think.
Oh yeah.
This is a wonderful cartoon, Jost. Okay. The big Russian military parade, but it's really the gas pipelines that are their weapons. Wonderful cartoon.
Yeah. Well, this year they had one tank in the parade. So I thought this is an old one from last year. Well, it might have been this year too, a better idea to point at the real weapons they have, which are the oil and the gas, of course.
Of course. And here you have Picasso's Guernica plopping down on top of Putin. Reality comes to land on his back. And what does this say?
It's more, I don't know if it was in America like that, but we had in Holland a lot of people or some people who glued themselves to paintings or to even to a table in a talk show. As a way of protesting against, I don't even remember, the environment or something like that. And it was on a daily basis in the papers that people had done that with pictures. So then I thought, well, I know another example. Why not Picasso's Guernica, which was made in Spain against the fascists and the bombing of the town of Guernica. Why not glues itself to Putin, because that would make a protest that would be as valuable as the other protests we saw day to day on our television.
It's a painting that Putin should wear all the time.
Yeah, well, I guess so. That would be best.
Excellent cartoon. Here you've got a Darth Vader-ish Z soldier looking over a heap of debris. I guess this is an uncaring German saying one more for the road.
Yeah, well, it is. This one was about Heineken, the beer you also know.
Uh-huh.
And Heineken had promised with a lot of other companies to leave the UK when Russia started its aggression. But after a year, it became clear that Heineken hadn't left at all. And even had expanded his business in Russia, so there was a big fuzz about it. And then Heineken said, "Well, we'll go." And then I made this cartoon with one more for the road.
Very good. Now this is one that I debated putting in here because I think I'll have to cut it out. But this is a hilarious cartoon.
This is the cartoon we were talking about.
Yes, and you know we're trying to convince some of our syndication clients to run our podcast on their sites with the editorial cartoons, and if we put this in there, I think they might object to this. But this is a wonderful cartoon, and
should a cartoon be wonderful, and should a cartoon be something to laugh about? There you have it. Why
makes it memorable?
Why not print this?
Okay, so you know the Pussy Riot is the Russian all women rock group that was protesting the government and was persecuted by the government there. They're lifting up the pants of this Russian Orthodox Church leader that we don't get many cartoons about here in America, and Putin and displaying their very tiny private parts, which just strikes me really funny. And I love this cartoon, and we would not get a single paper to reprint this cartoon.
No, but in the on the whole, in America, European cartoons aren't sold by you. You can't sell them.
Well, they don't sell very well, but by the same token, American cartoons don't sell very well in Europe.
Well, they used to. They used to. In the times of Pat Oliphant and McNally, they were often reprinted in our papers.
That was 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm old. That's when I got the idea of becoming a cartoonist.
Those were very inspirational guys. And, you know, back in the 70s, lots of American cartoonists were drawing in their style, and it just inspired everybody. But, you know, we've grown since then. We've got everybody drawing in their own style. There's no commonality. There used to be editorial cartoonists were criticized for all looking alike, and we certainly don't look alike now.
You're right. I remember Pat Oliphant saying there should be someone to take the art over the hills and continue. And if you ask me...
And now we're all over the hill.
Well, there are some cartoonists in America. I'm a big fan of Pat Bagley, for instance. I mentioned his name. Mm-hmm. I think he is a fighter with a lot of humor and a real political cartoonist. I think he is one of the guys with you who put the art or the trade over the hill.
So, here you've got a Belarusian president, Lukashenko, and he's looking decrepit with a cane, and he's wearing his jockey shorts, which have Putin on his butt, with a pipe coming out of Putin's mouth going into a mask on Lukashenko's face so that he's getting the butt fumes to breathe. And in his mask, all of these people are dropping out who are the migrants with his effort to push the migrants into Europe in order to make a political point that he's got to be paid attention to or he'll cause trouble. You've got it labeled Belarusian ICU. And this is just a hilarious image that doesn't stand up well to being described. But tell us a little bit more about this crazy thing that no American paper would print.
In brief, you could say that Putin is delivers the oxygen for Lukashenko. If not, he wouldn't have survived a few years ago with all those protests in Belarus. And thanks to Putin and his threat, he could survive. And as a result of that, Lukashenko or Belarus had to accept that lots of illegal immigrants passed by Belarus to Poland to embarrass Poland and Europe as well. And that's what's happening there. It's not a very, let's say, tasteful thing you can see here. It's just dirty work.
I appreciate all your dirty work. The French cartoonists say that American cartoonists are prudes because they can draw all these crazy nasty things that we can't do, but I should say we aspire to draw those things. We're just frustrated that we can't, and we admire your freedom, which is much like the French, and wish that we could have it as well. So here you've got Putin. He's drinking his flammable booze, and he's got a Gazprom flame ready to blow flaming spittle out of his mouth. That's a wonderful cartoon.
That was the big threat of Putin, of course. He got the gas, he got the gas pipeline, he got the fuel, he got everything, you could say, to blackmail the Western world. But afterwards, it seemed it wasn't so wise to do so, because it's a very dangerous sport
What do we call those? Adam.
Fire breather? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. He got Putin on a tank of, Stalin style tank of gas, recovered heroism. That's a fun cartoon. Big gun.
From the style of it.
Yeah, it's a war machine, of course, because it's the gas and then the greatness of the former Soviet Union with Stalin, which Putin wants to reinstall. Nevertheless, it's always a problem.
Here you
and this
have
one is, this is, how do you call this? We have an elephant in a porcelain.
We talk about a bull in a china shop. But here you've got, I guess this is a wolf in a china shop.
Yes, of course, because they are a little bit similar, a wolf and a little dog, because it's the same Chinese sort of animal.
But big Putin wolf in a china shop with the cute little Ukraine dog
And until now,
trample.
Everything is fine, but you can be sure that won't take long, that everything will be big mess and broken as well.
There's another church cartoon that I think you guys just have a very much better perspective on the Ukraine thing by emphasizing the church there so much. We just don't get that here.
Really?
Yes. And I think it's important to have that perspective. That's a strength you have that we don't have in our coverage here.
Because that's a problem one of the problems in Russia is that in former days they had the Communist Party, and now it's the Orthodox Church, mm-hmm. which is almost the same. It's unseizable. And nowadays, Putin, which was a communist, a real communist, and now is an Orthodox preach all now. And everything has to do with him and his power.
Yes, so this is one of the things that...
He compares himself with God in the end.
Uh-huh. This is one of the things that Republicans who oppose giving aid to Ukraine bring up occasionally, bring up often, is that the Ukrainians are suppressing religion in their country by... suppressing the church there, which is really just a propaganda wing of Russia.
And they're
but it's every no go ahead go ahead thank you.
And also that's a big reason I believe why people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and a lot of Republicans are really on Putin's side, because Putin wants what they want, which is basically a white nationalist society, and whereas, you know, a lot of Republicans, certainly Marjorie Taylor Greene, would have the evangelical Protestants on their side. So too with Putin and the Orthodox Church.
They're all looking for support with the fundamental Christian.
And both Russian Orthodox and evangelical Protestants aren't too keen on the gays, you know, so they're on gay people.
They've got
a lot in common, which is scary.
Right. Fundamental Christian.
And you also see it in Israel like this. I mean, Netanyahu can stay in power because of the fundamentalist Christians.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not Christians, but Jews. And so the right wing has found the fundamentalism on its side, and that makes them strong everywhere.
Well, you know, it's funny
In a way, it's very strange because they discuss the Muslim all of the... And it's a religion as well, and they have the same very straight principles. And what is the difference?
We'd be having a very different conversation now if I'd have invited one of our conservative cartoonists to join. All right,
I've heard him about it already.
Here you've got the Russian mobilization 2022, and everybody is running scared, and of course, a couple of them have their pants down. And
that's a beautiful
because
drawing. That's a beautiful drawing.
Or haunting.
Because
and of course,
now that's for the contract So do you have to a draft and no Russian wants to be the military.
The mobilization was they're calling up people to serve in the military in Ukraine, and of course many of the men that stood to be drafted ran out of the country as quick as they could. Wonderful cartoon. This was hard to draw.
Yeah,
I hate doing crowd scenes.
Me too.
Yeah.
But every now and then you need to.
Here you've got an evil looking Putin holding a broken, bloody plug, the Ukraine Strangler. Of course, he's blowing up all of the electrical generation facilities in Ukraine.
Yes. He tried to strangle Ukraine. But
beautiful use of light in all your cartoons. Your use of light.
Thank you.
Looking good. Here's the Putin Brigade 2023. You've got them all lined up, and they all have one amputated leg. They are both hampered and injured. What did you have in mind on this one?
Just that. The old army is hampered and almost one leg.
I rubbed it bullet away, and it's like at first, it takes you a few extra seconds to really gather all the legs. I thought they're standing in a certain way.
I have a question about the Zs, because we've all used them. And of course, in photographs, tanks and things, you see the Z. But I don't think average readers in the U.S. really have associated that Z with the Russian, as kind of the Russian emblem in this war. Is it different in Europe? Does everybody associate the Z with the Russian as sort of the Russian emblem of the war?
I guess so. Yeah, because there are a lot of images and photographs and also on television and all tanks. They have all those, especially in the beginning, were all made up with a Z. So I think that won't be a problem. But I'm not sure, but I think that the Z doesn't even exist in Russian, Cyrillic.
Oh, no?
Well, I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I read somewhere about what the origin of it is, but I forget.
Okay. Yeah. Let's keep it so.
So, here you have a shirtless Putin in a broken Russian Z-marked tank, a star of Ukraine in the sky. It looks like the star is peeing from space onto Putin's head. I got that right. The star is peeing on his head.
Yes, more or less. Yeah. But it's around Christmas. Epiphany, I think it's called in America. And I think in Russia, it's a big thing that this feast. But this time, it followed the star, it was always said.
Well, very good. So, Taylor, we're moving on to you. We've got a great batch of cartoons from you. Here is Putin at his very long table. And here's the other end of the table, two of his generals. Yeah. One of them says, "Do we tell him the truth?" The other one says, "You first."
Was this published in one page?
No,
this
was published in Hoover Digest, which is the political economics journal of the Hoover Institution based at Stanford University. Well, we're not always on the same side politically, but they've been great to me, and I've been doing stuff for them for 25 years now. And I've done a lot of Putin over those two decades.
No, but I mean, when I saw the first cartoon, I thought, what's the point in this?
Then I saw the second cartoon.
Were they two?
So I wondered, did you wait a day before you published the second cartoon? So I wondered, did you wait a day before you?
Well, actually, no. The digest is physically it's a small journal, kind of, and there's all these articles in it, and that was on one page. You turn the page, and then you see the other half.
Okay.
Probably
you had to turn the page.
That's fine.
Great. But it's nice. It's nice to have to have it prolonged a little less.
More pay to get
to the point.
So here you've got Putin and President Trump, and Putin is doing his war dance, and he says, "Effig moron, but a useful one." And Trump is thinking, no collusion, no collusion. This was back in the collusion with Russia days of Trump. But that's just a very funny cartoon, Taylor.
I don't know. Well, thank you, Darryl. I don't know that anybody published it.
Quite the legs there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he works out.
He really does.
Very good.
Beautiful question. You draw them for yourself as well?
I'm sorry. A lot of the things I do for Keigo cartoons are just for Keigo cartoon. Others, again, have been over Hoover Digest, and others, I'm no longer working with El Nuevo Dia in Puerto Rico, but there were a lot of cartoons then as well. So, but some of these, this one was probably done just for Keigo.
I love your Trump picture too, Taylor. I'm a fan of the profile Trump when he's in cartoons.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
I've got a big Taylor Trump hanging in my living room.
Yeah, well.
So, Taylor, here you've got your Pussy Riot, and you have translated Russian Cyrillic naughty words in a few of your cartoons, including this one.
That's a dirty word, I suppose. I've taken an interest in the Orthodox side of it, and of course, Pussy Riot, they were also... very critical of the Russian Orthodox Church as well. But, of course, they're broken up. The brown-eyed woman there in the yellow, she lives in L.A. now. I don't know what the others, of course, they were in jail briefly, but she's the one, if you see them interviewed on TV in the U.S., see one, it'll be her.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun. This was fun to do.
And they still perform, don't they?
I don't know. Well, she's doing something with theater out there.
Yeah, I've seen them on Dutch television.
Oh, okay, well.
And I guess, I don't know if it's the full Pussy Riot, but they were performing and they were singing new songs.
And their histories are so intertwined. So, the metaphor with the message in the actual painting of Saturn being threatened, his power being threatened, so eating his own, and that sort of cannibalism. I thought that was a great way to capture the brutality going.
Adam, did your editors know that painting?
This one, like a lot of my cartoons that reference things, I will send a screenshot sometimes of what I'm referencing. Just so you know, there's a layer in this cartoon. This is why I'm using this metaphor. Often they'll already know that, but this one, I don't think they did. I'm a fan of fine art, and not everybody is. I think the image is famous, and I'm also that my paper runs in cartoons run in black and white in my newspaper, color online, but I think because it's black and white, I could get away with this. Blood in color in the newsprint, I think they'd be much more sensitive to with red. So it's kind of like a silver lining for my black and white print.
Adam, may I ask you something?
Yes.
I'd like to think of ourselves as columnists with other means, you know. Mm-hmm. We draw, we don't write.
That's right.
People who write, columnists who write, do they have to also in advance tell the editors what they are going to write about and in what way they will do it?
I think it's for at least for the Buffalo, for me, it's similar where I'll give them a sketch. And sometimes it'll be the finished product, but I just show them and they have the final say. And the same with columnists. A columnist will, if they write it to finish, they don't give them a heads up. The editor still has the right to edit it or not run it. And it doesn't happen often, but usually it's a relationship where they're like, give them a heads up, which is I'm writing a column for Sunday on top.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the draft is in the system, the editors may. We have to pare it down. It depends on the columnist. Some columnists are given more freedom than others. And for me, they don't edit details. They don't, they just want to see it ahead of time. I don't get any real pushback other than once every couple of years, if it's a sub related to the Catholic Church or rape or death, if they're sensitive to the image, and Ukraine is far enough away, I think, where they give me leeway. If it's something that Buffalo, there's a tragedy, they're a little sensitive to the families that may see it. and they may give me some pushback, but it's every couple of years, most really.
This is a lovely cartoon, Adam. You've got the very long Putin conference table, and Putin's looking way far away at the world on the other side.
I really love this one.
Thank you.
And yeah, you have wolf feet on his chair.
That's right. little details. I'm glad you noticed that. You got to add some little
details. He's a cartoonist as well, though.
You know, sometimes... I can say sometimes my definition of an editorial cartoonist is someone who's not talented enough to be a fine illustrator, is not smart enough to be a serious journalist, and is not funny enough to be a stand-up comedian. But you put them all together and you come up with their own thing.
That's kind of a harsh definition, Taylor. You're a beautiful illustrator.
Biggest backhanded compliment I've ever done.
As well. You have to be a preacher as well.
Okay, here you've got a very bloody cartoon with a Russian bear caught in a trap and he's bleeding out Ukraine.
Similar to the first cartoon you showed with stuck in the gears of Ukraine. It just, that little bleed, which is the way to win in this kind of war.
Okay, thank you so much for being here. Thanks to Yost, to Youp, to Taylor, and to Adam. We appreciate your being here for the CagleCast. Remember that the CagleCast is in both audio and video formats. If you didn't get the video version, you can see that on CagleCast or Kagle.com or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and it's all so cool, and you just got to see it. You should remember to subscribe to the CagleCast. Subscribe to the CagleCast, and gentlemen, it was wonderful having you all here, and we'll invite you back.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.